May the Lord help us to commence this morning with hymn 737. Gracious Lord, incline thy ear, my request felt safe to hear. Hear my never ceasing cry, give me Christ, or else I die. Hymn 737.
Thank you. Let us read together for our instruction from the first epistle general of John. We will read chapter 1 and into chapter 2 to the end of verse 6. And then we will read the fifth chapter of the epistle. The first epistle general of John. Commencing to read at chapter 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. We will now turn to the fifth chapter of this epistle. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth: the Spirit, and the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. And he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you, that ye believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life, for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death, I do not say that he shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. We know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. The Lord bless the reading of his holy word and help us to pray. O thou faithful and true, that inhabiteth eternity, the heaven of heavens, and what law can contain thee? And yet thou dost dwell in the hearts of those whom thou dost call with that effectual calling, that they may be brought to run in those ways that thou hast laid out, with hope in that in that blessed life that was given, even the life of thy dear Son, Jesus Christ, who came in the flesh, that he might work that work of holiness and magnify the Lord, to make it honourable and to lay down his life and bear our sins in that body that he laid down, that we might be brought into the liberty of life and not to be kept in the death of ignorance and foolishness and waywardness and carnality and sin. But Lord, if it be thy good pleasure to grant us the life that is to be known in Christ Jesus alone. And Lord, we pray that we might therefore have our eyes opened to behold those wondrous things that are set before us in the word of truth, and that we might embrace them with faith, believing that, as one said, if ever my poor soul be saved, 'tis Christ must be the way. We come, Lord, and gather together on this thy day, the day set apart, which was so first from the beginning, when God rested from his work, but then the finished work of Christ, realized in that resurrection, when he rose from the dead, and then to bring life unto his people, that we might then know what it is to be a partaker of those things that are found in Christ alone. We do pray then that we might on this day consider the power of the resurrection. Those disciples, they were brought to say, when thou didst reveal thyself first unto Mary Magdalene and to Peter and then to all the apostles. And their words were then, when they greeted one another, Christ is risen. That we might also rejoice in a risen Lord. Lord, if we know not the life of the grace of God in our hearts, if we know not that resurrection which the apostle desired to know, that I might know him in the power of his resurrection, to have suffering, have fellowship with him in his sufferings, and to be made conformable unto his death, Lord, then what we need is for that quickening, that we might be made alive spiritually, born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of life, and brought then to testify that there is none else under whom we can look. But there did say, look unto me, O ye ends of the earth, and be ye saved, for I am God and there is none else. May it be that there does draw our eye, the eye of faith upward, to behold him who now, having finished the work, suffered, bled and died, and then rose again, is now ascended up into his glory, at the right hand of the Father, to make intercessions for us. We pray therefore as we come to bow at the footstool of thy mercy, that we might be given that solemnized heart to realize all that it cost, that a poor sinner might draw upon the riches that are found in the Jesus Christ. And to know this, that he has ascended up on high and has led captivity captive and received gifts from men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell amongst them. Lord, we, after acts are exercised, as expressed by one in the hymn, rebellious thou hast been, and it was so of Ephraim, and rebellious thou art still, but since in love I took thee in, my promise I'll fulfill. It is, Lord, upon therefore the covenant promises that we stand, and those covenant promises we plead, and those covenant promises thou must fulfill, because thou art the faithful God. Now we do desire that thou would help us as we are thus gathered in worship, to worship thee in spirit and in truth. We do pray that if it could please thee, that a help may be given to the hearers in hearing, the speaker in speaking, that, Lord, the word may have free course and bring honour and glory to thy name, that it might have an effect, that the gracious Spirit may bring the word to the hearts of the hearers. Lord, we need the application of the word. Therefore, Lord, we pray that it might be empowering in the Holy Ghost as it enters into the hearts of one or another as thou dost so please. And Lord, thou dost cause thy people to be drawn. Oh, what a mercy it is that thy drawing power is an effectual and a certain one. We do, Lord, pray for those who may have come, feeling their wretchedness, that they are deep-dyed sinners, wondering whether there can ever be any hope for them. And yet may they enter with a who can tell, that the Lord may be gracious. And with that, Lord, that they may find that the word is brought expressly to them. And as the prophet said concerning that word, thy words were found, and I did eat them, and they were to me the joy and rejoicing of my soul. And Lord, then we become partakers of the living word, partakers of Christ. Except ye eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, ye have no part with me. And yet, Lord, there is one amazed to find that the grace flows down to where they are. They may feel afar off and wondering whether they can ever approach, and yet brought near by and through the precious blood of Christ. We do, Lord, pray that they would look upon each that are gathered. And there are the children. Oh, we pray for them. The babes that have been born. We are thankful, Lord, that they have been brought safely into the world. And yet, what a world they will grow up in. Oh, we plead for them that they might be kept, that thou wilt watch over them, and that they may desire to walk in the ways that thy people are found in. Lord, that they may have a desire to keep to those things. And when the world may dangle, as it were, their pleasures before them, and the tempter tempt them to go after those things, and to forget thy holy day, and to pursue the pleasures of the world, or that they might be preserved, and if they are left to it, to be brought again. We pray, Lord, for the prodigals. How the father in the parable looked day after day for the return of his son. And when he had spent all and was brought to want, then he considered his father's house. Lord, may it be that there are those, perhaps at present, there deep in the things of the world, but oh, that they might come to themselves and be brought to seek the one who alone can save them from a lost eternity. We do, Lord, pray that thou wilt be mindful of those that bear the responsibilities of life. Parents, that they may be given wisdom in the bringing up of their children, that they may bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We would pray, Lord, for those that in their business life have to do with the world, but may they not have the spirit of the world, but desire that they might do what is right in the sight of the Lord, that they may have the same grace as Nehemiah, when he said, "That did not I, because of the fear of the Lord." We do, Lord, pray for those who may have the burden of the people pressed upon them. Lord, they may lay before the souls of those that gather here, and they desire to see the evidence, or the mothers in Israel and the fathers in Israel, or that there may be yet many spiritual children brought forth, and an increase be seen. We live in days where we see a turning away, a diminishing in congregations. Many are brought very low, all but a few. But Lord, thou canst revive. We pray thou wilt yet revive Zion in this our day. We would thank thee, Lord, where there is the evidence of thy work, and still it is an evidence that thou hast not left nor forsaken, and thou canst not, because thou hast purchased thy people through blood. Now we would also pray that thou wilt be mindful of those scattered here and there, those not able to gather because of persecutions, privations, isolations, and many other things. Lord, do look upon them, even as they may seek themselves, perhaps only themselves, to cry unto thee and to seek thee. And so we pray for them. We would desire to bear before thee, O Lord, our sinful land, and all the evils that abound, those that have turned away, and those that would turn many hearts away from the things which are expressed in thy word, and declare what man is. Oh, that there may be those brought under the realization that the life that they live is contrary to that, and be brought to confess and to turn again. Lord, we pray that their leaders might be given wisdom. Do have mercy upon our King. Lord, may he be given now that help to do what is for the best of the people. But above all, may he also consider that he has a never-dying soul, and that he might seek unto thee and believe and be brought to see that if the people are turned, then we shall know that true prosperity. But what confusion we see in the world. We need thee to arise, scatter the enemies, bring us, Lord, to the footstool of prayer, that we may pray earnestly for those deliverances. And now do help us as we are gathered to continue before thee. Be mouth, matter and wisdom to us. Leave us not to ourselves. Pardon then our every sin. Make up in giving where we fail in asking. We ask it for Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 682. 682. While Jesus whispers peace and unctuously displays the matchless beauties of his grace, our hearts approve his ways. Hymn 682.
as the Lord may be pleased to help me, I direct your attention to the first epistle general of John, chapter 5, and we will read the first three verses of that chapter. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. The first epistle general of John, chapter 5, and the first three verses. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him that also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. When I was young in the way of profession, I found the Epistle of John to be somewhat above me. Who could attain to that which is written here and be found among such that so love him and keep his commandments that we will not then be overcome by the power of sin? But we came to learn, as the gracious Spirit taught us, that we still have a nature that will continue in those things which are an abhorrence to the new nature, to the things of God. And therefore there is a striving, there is a struggling, when the old nature of our old self that seeks after the things of self, and therefore seeks after the ways of the world, which are bound up in selfishness and pride and contempt of the things of God, and delights to do the things which satisfy its own ego and brings such upon itself that deserves eternal punishment. And it has been from the very beginning, when our first parents were tempted of the serpent, of the devil, to take of the forbidden fruit, saying they would be as gods, and that they would also then know good and evil. And indeed they came to know what the evil was, and yet did they consider it as evil until the Lord himself did open their eyes and convince them of their wickedness, that they had sinned against God, and what the punishment would be. Death, as it had been spoken of before our first parents fell. The day thou eatest thereof, of the forbidden fruit, the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And so, original sin was brought in, and all of the offspring of our first parents came under that awful sense of condemnation. They had sinned. They were sinners, born as sinners, and they lived as sinners. And they committed sin. And so there was no evidence of any life in them, except the Lord God in his infinite mercy should make a way whereby life may be given. And that which was believed was to the reviving and to the continuing of the power of the word that brought a salvation to the knowledge of each that believed through the work of the Spirit in their own hearts. We find therefore that the promise was given, and the promise was believed by those who were brought to believe it, and so they looked for the coming of the one who would bring deliverance, the promised Christ, the promised Messiah, the one who was to be prophesied, and was so. He revealed himself also unto certain when he brought Abraham out from Ur of the Chaldees. He gave him a promise. He appeared unto him. He spoke of what should be given him, a seed, and that he would be a father of nations, and that he would possess a land, and that land which they came to dwell in, the children of Israel. Yet that was not the land which was to be the ultimate blessing. We know that these types which were received were to foreshadow what was the reality, and whether there was a belief in that which would come and be known. So we read very solemnly that when our Lord and Saviour appeared, the Israelites, the Jews as they now were known, they believed him not. That is, in a general sense. Yes, there were those that believed. The disciples themselves believed, most of them being of the stock of Abraham and of Israel. Matthew was called, we know, as a publican, and he was accepted by those who now also beheld one who could deliver them from the bondage of their own wretchedness, the bondage of sin, the bondage that was brought by the law that condemned. But nonetheless, the law was spiritual and good. The Lord God gave it. He gave it because of transgression. He gave it that it might reveal the transgressions of the people and bring them then to repentance. What things were needed to bring the nation again and again to that repentance. The enemies the Lord permitted to be raised up and to trouble the children of Israel, to oppress them, to take them even into captivity. And when then, after perhaps some long years, they were brought to humble themselves before God, he brought deliverance. What it takes to humble the hearts of the proud. What it takes to break the carnal heart. It needs indeed that sovereign work of God. and nothing else will do. But then we know that the carnal heart, the carnal mind, it knoweth not of those things that be of God. The apostle, when he wrote to the Romans, set it forth very plainly. He says, the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. How could he say that? Because these of the Roman church had known the work of God in their hearts, born again by the Spirit of God. The lesson that our Lord patiently taught Nicodemus was now being known by a number that were being taught through the ministry of the apostles, and particularly Paul, who was sent unto the Gentiles that they might also believe and be brought to know the blessedness of that life and work which can only be through the work of Jesus Christ. He who came that he might give life, he took our nature, he took human flesh, he suffered for our sakes, and suffered those contradictions of sinners against himself. He laid down his life that he might take it again. He could lay down his life and he could take it again because he was sinless. Can a man lay down his life? He may take his life. What a solemn consequence that is. For he that taketh his life then loses it. But if the Lord should, in the course of our days here, teach us that the life that our Lord and Saviour gave, it was a new life, a life that is begotten in us. And that begetting is according to the Father's good will and pleasure. And so we find that those that believe that Jesus is the Christ, that he is thus born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat, that is the Father. It is the Father that does beget us through his own dear Son. He that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. Who is the begotten? But the only begotten Son of God, the only begotten of the Father, who is full of grace and truth. And so we find that Peter says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope. Yes, when we read begotten us again, it does not mean that we are needing the life that we had to be renewed. We need new life. The old life of sin is ever corrupt and will remain so until we are brought to the grave. And then the old nature will there be brought to its last state. but the soul, the immortal soul, the soul that cannot die, but the soul that is quickened by the life of the Spirit, may then know the blessedness of being with Christ, which is far better. But for the present, we continue in this world. We struggle against the things of this life, sin and sorrow, having many cares that may burden us, many troubles that we may have to face, much opposition from those that believe not, and the world that will hate even the mention of Jesus Christ. Oh, what a difference has been put, therefore, unto those that believe. What a difference. Therefore, it is in this difference that we are brought to know our love for the brethren. Did we love them once? Yet we may love them now. As crooked as they may be in their natures, and we all have our own personalities, and we have to prove that we cannot of ourselves curb our natures, but the Lord in mercy does subdue. He subdues those things that may be offensive unto the people of God, and that will bring us to know as to whom we do belong. We belong to those that will in charity bear and forbear, and we are given of that like spirit. Oh, we have to pray for it. We have to pray against the old nature, that we're to be ready to rise up against those who are the Lord's. But we have to ever remember that in rising up against the Lord's, we rise up against him also. And can we truly say that we are passed from death unto life? Unless there is the evidence of that love for the brethren. So whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and every one that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten, and by this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. And so we have the whole or the two commandments that embrace everything set before us by John in these few words. And our Lord was asked what was the great commandment. And he said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might so on. And then the second commandment is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. Here was the commandments in a nutshell. And here we find that John, he does not go forth to elaborate at any length upon what we may need to do in this or that, but a new commandment give I unto you, that ye love one another. And to love one another, we cannot love one another in the true spirit unless we possess the spirit of love, the spirit of God's grace, the spirit of Christ. He who loved his own, that he condescended to obey his Father's will, in coming and suffering and giving his life. Herein is love, that a man should lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends. In what way were they friends? Well, first of all, they were chosen. Chosen in the dear Son of God, that they might be his brethren. He, the Son of God by nature, that we by adoption might be seen as sons and daughters, that we may be of those that the Lord would work a saving work in the course of time, and the time when the Lord works his saving work is according to his own purpose and will. And when the moment comes, the word goes forth, arrest that man, that woman, even that child. When there is the work of God to be fulfilled, it shall be accomplished. Yes, it will be God's work. Nothing can frustrate it. Nothing can prevent it. There may be those things that appear to frustrate. And if there is, if we are given or lay, have one laid upon our heart with regard to their salvation, we may have to labour long in that exercise over their soul. And we may find that much seems to bring setbacks. And where we had a hope, then it seems as though it's frustrated. And we may almost be ready to give up. But the Lord who will fulfill his purpose, he will bring it to pass. And that is the wonderful thing with our God. He brings those things to pass. And it came to pass. And all things that may concern the matter itself shall come to pass. And it may be that something has to arise in our life or their life or whichever life we are speaking of, whoever the person or one may be, something may have to happen which then brings them to fall before their God and to cry for mercy. But the work of God is seen by those things that he purposes and brings to pass, whether it be in providence or whether it be seen as a complete work of grace which is being brought about by the Holy Spirit convincing of sin. We may find that there are those things that one or another has known, such as when we consider men like John Newton, through the storm that he was brought into and the fear of loss of his life. So he was brought to seek God. And I have not, of course, given all or any of the details, but there was one that through the providence was brought to tremble before God. But another may be brought up under the sound of the word, a constant hearer, attending upon the means of grace, and yet They know nothing more than just the external worship. They know nothing of the heart work until God begins it. And how they brought to then cry unto him, because he shows them what they are. He shows them as sinners. He reveals them and brings them perhaps into deep exercise of mind and soul. They fear that they shall be cast into hell and shall drop there. They perhaps look for something to happen that will then end their life because they cannot see that they can ever be accepted of God. But then perhaps in the gentlest of ways, the Lord comes. He breaks the whole snare of their fear. He reveals himself. He brings them into the liberty of the gospel. Well, the Lord's ways, they are his ways. And we cannot therefore try to regularize the manner and way of regeneration or conversion, as you may wish to call it. It is the way that the Lord will bring his own to know the path of mercy. The path of mercy. Well, we have perhaps gone somewhat away from the main point of our text, but these things are often connected. They're brought then again to the main and crucial point. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Christ is your only hope. Nothing else will do but to believe in him. But you find there is no then hope in yourself. Not all the good that you might try to do will bring salvation, but whosoever believeth. What is found then with the new nature? The new nature, first of all, it cannot sin. We may perhaps say then, why do we continue in sin? That's because you carry about a body of death, as the apostle speaks of in that 7th chapter to the Romans. Yes, that body of death. And you'll carry it to your death. Until you die. That body of sin. But we know this. That faith looks to the Redeemer. The one who has redeemed us from our lost and wretched condition. We find that in him there is a salvation which is seen in that one offering. The word was, the soul that sinneth it shall die. Therefore all are dead because of sin. But he who is the life would give himself to death that we might live. What an incomprehensible thought that is to the natural mind. That God should send his own dear son in the likeness of sinful flesh, who knew no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. But he was the one who was perfect, holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. And yet he came to dwell amongst them. He came to eat with publicans and sinners. He came that he might give his life. Yes, that life that he had when that body was prepared. A body has thou prepared me. And it was that body which assured know all the suffering and all that was needful in making an atonement. Now it needed a body. Under the old dispensation it was a lamb or a goat or a bullock or some such beast, that which had not been guilty of any actual sin, though under the curse of it, because all was brought under the curse when man fell. And now we see one that is set before us as the Lamb of God. And yet, born of a woman, made under the law, to know the curse, to suffer the curse. The curse of death would be known in that body which he so freely gave. Well, then, the fact that he could give his life, he could also take it again because the earth could not hold him. No, the grave could not hold him. Death could not celebrate him, because he had the power to break the bands of death. And in so doing, he rose again from the dead. The power of his resurrection. This is where faith must look, unto him that is risen. Oh, what a wonderful thing it is when we behold our Lord has risen. Risen and overcome the power of death. He who has made that atonement for sin, so that we are accepted in and through him who is our beloved, the Father's beloved and our beloved. Our beloved because we have been brought to love him that begat. And therefore, if we have been brought to love him that begat his only beloved Son, then we love him who is begotten, the begotten of the Father. So by this we know that we love the children of God, who also are begotten to a lively hope through that one in whom they are brought to believe. What a hope! What a hope! Men have hope in what they can do, and it comes to an end, and their hope perish. There is the hypocrite that has a hope. They have a hope in the fact that they can cover up, or think they can cover up, all their misdeeds by some good deeds, but they are deceived. They are deceived, and the hope of the hypocrite shall perish. Oh, let us not be left to deception. There is only one hope, that it will give us the certainty of those things in which it hopes. To hope in the mercy and love of our Lord and Saviour. Now, he that gave himself is our hope, but he that is risen is our hope. And he that is ascended up on high is our hope. And the hope of the child of God is cast within the veil, whither he, the forerunner, has for us entered. If he has entered, then so shall it be with all those that are his. They shall enter also in the time that is appointed. And there is a time appointed unto men to die, once to die, and after that the judgment. But where and how shall we stand in that great day? Shall we find we are separated and amongst the sheep, unto whom it shall be said, come, enter into the joy of thy Lord? Or shall we be of those of whom, to whom it shall be said, I never knew you, depart from me, ye cursed? Well, it's only if we are found in Christ, if we are born again of that Spirit, and the Spirit of Christ is found in us. Because the Spirit of Christ is found in us, then our desire is that we should follow him in his great and blessed example. And what example has he given? He's given that example that he did all things that his Father gave him to do. And amidst the things, it was to keep the holy law of God, to keep the commandment. At the commandment, so he came. Lo, I come in the volume of the book that is written of me to do thy will, O God. And so for the people of God, we can only keep the commandment as we look to him. Faith looks to him, and the love that he begets in us will be the very means by which we will desire to keep that commandment. If ye love me, keep my commandments. A great question, isn't it? Do we love him? Do you love him? Sometimes our love is cold and faint. But the hymn writer says, yet would love him and adore. Oh, for grace to love him more. The love of Christ constrains. Oh, we need that love of Christ to be shed abroad in our hearts. Oh, we need the love of Christ to be graciously felt and its drawing power. When we consider the relationship of Christ and his church, as it is set before us in the Song of Solomon, there we have the beloved Christ. There we have the spouse, the church. And what did the spouse come to know? She came to know the need of being drawn. So her cry was, draw me, we will run after thee. But she'd had the reason for her to desire such a drawing, because he had come and kissed her. She desired, therefore, that she may be kissed and embraced again. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Well, you may perhaps feel to be dead in your own self, feel far off, feel destitute, yet It's your desire that he would come and graciously constrain and bless you. Well, we find that constraining grace in the hymn that you have just sung. While Jesus whispers peace and unctuously displays the matchless beauties of his grace, our hearts approve his ways. But when the Lord withdraws, then we prove the fickleness, the falseness, the blindness of our own sinful heart. But then, where we are brought to say, Father, thy will be done, in words we oft express, when in our hearts we want our own and wish our sufferings less, dear God, our guilt forgive, thy pardoning love display, and may we to thy glory live, and righteous, thy righteous will obey. Well then, it is that work, that sanctifying work of his grace that will bring us into this word before us. For this we know, that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. Well, we must leave the subject there, and may the Lord give us that longing and desire to have that life that seeks after him, the new life, the life which is given. Amen.
God willing, Sunday school will be at Bethany this afternoon at 2:30. There'll be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening at 7:00 in the dress by Mr. Pickett. And Mr. Hadley is expected to preach on Friday evening. And next Lord's Day, Mr. Michael Ridout will preach and also hopes to address the Sunday school. Let us close with hymn number 514. 514. Oh, what matchless condescension the eternal God displays, claiming our supreme attention to his boundless works and ways. His own glory he reveals in gospel days. Hymn 514.
Of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit abide with us evermore. Amen.